Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
I want to move right into what I have for you here this morning. My message is entitled, Join the Fight Club. Join the Fight Club. Now, you know, I know my slide up here is really masculine, so you women will just have to kind of work with me here this morning. I thought about putting a flower in it somewhere, but I thought that probably wouldn't go over real good with the guys. So y'all just pretend that the helmet is purple and there's some little swirlies up there, and we'll try to make it masculine. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see the movie by Stephen and Alex Kendrick called The War Room. Man, I'm telling you, gosh, yes, what a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to go. Such an inspirational movie. I mean, so powerful, so moving, on prayer and the power of prayer. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I really want to deposit in your spirit a real passion to begin to pray like you never have prayed before. You know, so many believers don't pray because they don't believe it works. And unfortunately, it doesn't work because they really don't pray. But if you would ever really tap into what God has for you in the realm of prayer, and you know, even teenagers here, you know, young people, listen to me, even you 7, 8, 9-year-old young people, you got to understand, prayer's not just for adults. The Bible says, Jesus says, the only way that you can enter the kingdom of heaven is unless you become like a little child. And so some of you young ones that are in here today, you know, you're 5, you're 6, you're 7, you're younger, you're not a full-grown adult. Let me tell you something. Your prayers can be just as powerful as Pastor Ashley's up here as he prays on Sunday morning, or your mom and dad as they pray over your home. So I really want to inspire you to pray. I'm bringing with me today an invitation to join the Fight Club. I'm bringing with me today to Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri, an invitation to join the Fight Club. God has a fight for us all. And it's not with our relatives, although that's not always hard to do if you have relatives like mine. You know, do y'all have in-laws? Well, I've got outlaws, so and some of y'all might have some of those. You may know how that's like. God has called us to fight in the realm of the Spirit. In the realm of the Spirit, to fight, to get down on our knees and fight in the realm of the Spirit. And God's got all kinds of answers for our lives through the power of prayer. God has called us to be a fighter. You know, I think about the scripture that says, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Fight. God has called us to fight. See, life is a fight. It's a fight. You got to get a hold of that in your spirit, that life is a fight. And so many believers, they're passionate about a lot of things. They're passionate about their jobs. They're passionate about making money. They're passionate about their hobbies. They're passionate about getting six-pack abs. But here's what I want to know if you're passionate about. Are you passionate about prayer? Are you passionate about seeing God move in your life and in the life of your family members? See, many people have lost their passion and their inspiration to fight. To fight. And today I want to talk to you about joining the Fight Club. Well, I'm going to use a story to illustrate this point. And if you want to, you can go ahead and go to Genesis 32. And we're going to be looking at the story of Jacob and Esau. Probably everybody is familiar about Jacob and Esau. You know, Jacob was pretty tricky. And he really deceived and tricked his father into giving away Esau's birthright and his inheritance to him instead of Esau, who was the firstborn. And so he stole his blessing. He stole his inheritance from him. It wasn't his to have, and he stole it. And so their father became very, very old. It was coming close for him to die. And Esau was having a conversation with maybe one of his servants or somebody, I don't know, but his mother overheard the conversation, and here's what he said. He says, when we're done mourning our father's death, I'm going to kill Jacob. I'm going to kill him for stealing my birthright. Well, Jacob's mother, Esau and Jacob's mom, heard about this, and she got with Jacob and said, listen, your brother's going to kill you. You have to go. You have to go far, far away from here. You have to get out of here. He's going to take your life, so you need to leave. And so Jacob took what he had, and he left. He fled. When we fast forward through the story decades later, we see that Jacob's a very rich man. He's very blessed. God has blessed him. He has many children, wives, livestock, land. God has really poured out his blessing on him. And so the time comes for these two brothers to reunite. Well, you know, based upon what happened when he left, Jacob is very fearful. He's fearful that Esau is going to still be very angry over the fact that he stole his birthright and he stole his inheritance, and he's really fearful. But the time has come for these two brothers to come together, and they're going to meet. And so what Jacob does is he gets with his servants and he tells them, I want you to go out ahead of me, and I want you to take my livestock. I want you to take the things that God has blessed me with, my servants, even different family members. I want you to meet my brother along the way, and I want you to bow before him and say to him, your servant Jacob is anticipating you coming, and all of these things are yours to have. And so he sent his men ahead of him to try to, you know, appease his anger from years past and stealing that blessing. And so his servants go out and they meet him. They have an encounter. And I want you to look here in Genesis 32. And we're going to start in verse 3. Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother to Esau, who was living in the region of Seir, the land of Edom. He told them, give this message to my master. Humble greetings from your servant Jacob. I mean, he's... You know, he's trying to soften him up, right? Humble greetings. Until now, I've been living with Uncle Laban. I own cattle, donkeys, flocks of sheep, goats, many servants, both men and women. I've sent these messengers to inform my Lord of my coming, hoping that you will be friendly to me. After delivering the message, the messengers returned to Jacob and reported. Here's what they said. Yeah, we met your brother, Esau. We saw him, and he's already on his way to meet you with 400 soldiers. Now, this is bad news. This is not good. I mean, we got 400 Rambos coming your way. You know, 400 military men are coming with him. Well, you just got to read between the lines. If you're Jacob, you're thinking, I'm doomed. I mean, it's over. He's going to wipe me out. He's going to wipe out my family. He's going to wipe out my servants. He's going to wipe out everything I have. I am in serious, serious trouble. So Jacob was terrified, verse 7 says. He was terrified at the news. He divided his household, along with his flocks, his herds, his camels, into two groups. And he thought, if Esau meets one group and attacks it, perhaps the other group can't escape. And so he begins to divide them up in groups. And he's going to send them, and he's going to offer everything that he has. Everything that he has, he's going to give to his brother, Esau, to try to appease his anger. So Jacob does this. He breaks up his family into groups. He sends them forward. He's left there, you know, by himself. Look at verse 9. He prayed. Now here's his prayer. God of my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me. Now, here's what God had told him to do. This was God's instructions to Jacob. You return to your own land and your relatives, and you promised me that I will treat you kindly. Now, I'm not worthy of all your unfailing love and your faithfulness that you've shown to me, your servant. When I left home and I crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now, my household fills two large camps. Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I'm afraid that he's coming to attack me along with my wives and my children. But you promised me, I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as the sands along the seashore, too many to count. So where Jacob stayed there for the night, He selected all these gifts. You know, we're going to fast forward here. He sent them out. And now, you know, he's waiting for the results to happen of him sending them out. But he's reminding God. You see that? He's reminding God. God, you promised me. God, you told me. God, this is what you were going to do for me. And God, I'm just putting this out there in front of you, reminding you, God, here's what you said that you were going to do. Well, during the next night, it says he walked away from the camp. He got away from the camp, and he went out to pray. He was seeking God. He was spending some time connecting with God, praying. And it says, during the next night, as he walked away to pray, everybody look at verse 22. 32:22. During the night, Jacob got up. He took his two wives, his two servants' wives, his 11 sons. He crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent all of his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn of the breaking of the day. So during that night, Jacob is all alone. He's praying, and this man comes. This angel comes, and he begins to wrestle. He's wrestling with Jacob. Jacob is wrestling with him. And Jacob is going to wrestle all night long with this angel until he blesses him. See, Jacob is determined that he is going to get, come on, what God has promised him. And so Jacob is going to wrestle with this angel all night long. See, Jacob is about to enter the fight club. Jacob is about to enter a season of his life where he is going to fight for what God has promised him. Now, what I want you to understand, church, is this. The devil is in a fight with you. Now, you got to know this. The devil himself, he is in a fight with you. He is opposing you every day. He's opposing your family. He's opposing your purpose. He's opposing your ministry. He is coming against the things that God has promised you. Every day he's strategizing how to gain power over you, how to defeat you. Do you believe me, church? If you believe me, let me hear an amen. Do you believe me? Let me hear an amen. Well, then you better live like it. You better live like it, because I'm telling you right now, the devil is serious about what he is doing, and we have to be serious about what God has called us to do. See, you can't fight with anything physical. This fight is not physical. This fight is a spiritual fight. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's verse 12 and 13, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against rulers." Listen to this. It is against rulers. It is against authorities. It is against powers of this dark world. It is against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes," did you see that? So that when. It doesn't say if it comes, it says when it comes. See, it's not if, it's when. It's when. When the day of evil comes, look at this. You may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, you what? Stand. After you've done everything to stand, you stand. See, when life hits you hard, you stand. When the enemy comes against you and he attacks your home, you stand. When the enemy comes against your children, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to stand. I mean, when storms overtake you, you're going to have to. You're going to have to. Say, "I'm standing." Say, "I'm standing." See, that's what we have to do. See, when the enemy comes against us, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to stand. And see, church, here's what I want you to understand this morning. You're a fighter. God had equipped you from the beginning of the foundations of the world. When he birthed you into this world, God birthed you to be a winner. God birthed you to be a fighter. God birthed you to stand. Every human being has built inside of them a desire to live, to fight, to move forward, to prosper, to be blessed. That's what God has for us today, his people. Now, here's what I want to ask you today. We're all in a fight, but what are you fighting for? Are you fighting in your home? Are you fighting with your relatives? Are you fighting with your children? Are you fighting with your boss? Are you fighting? Are you hearing me? See, we're all called to fight, but the scripture makes it very clear. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. We have an unseen enemy that disguises himself, and he is wrestling against us. He is strategizing against us. Now, I want you to picture this moment in verse 24. It says, this left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled him until the dawn began to break. And when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip, and he wrenched it out of socket. And then the man said, "Let go. Let go of me. The dawn is breaking. Let go of me." But watch what Jacob says. Jacob says, "I will not let go of you unless you bless me. You're going to have to bless me. If I'm going to let you go, you're going to have to bless me." You see that? Jacob is hanging on to get his blessing. He said, "I'm not letting you go." I mean, imagine the picture. Jacob is down and he's wrestling this guy. He's wrestling. How many of y'all ever wrestled? You know, I used to wrestle with my boys all the time when they were little. That's all they wanted to do. You know, they just attack you unaware. You'd be down on the floor. You didn't know. All of a sudden, boom, they're all over you, you know. And you're wrestling and you're wrestling. And man, and they're trying to pin you down. Maybe some of y'all even did that in high school. You know, you wrestled and you're wrestling. And here's Jacob. He's wrestling. He's hanging on. And he's saying, "Give me what's promised. Give me what's mine. I'm not letting you go." And the angel said, "Let go of me. Let go of me. The daybreak is coming. Let go of me." And Jacob's saying, "I'm not letting go of you." And he's holding on. And so this angel, he realizes that he's not going to win the match. That Jacob is determined. That he's not going to let go. That he's not going to give up. And so what the angel does is the angel, he touches him right here in his hip. And he wrenches his hip. He dislocates his hip. How many of y'all ever dislocated something? Whoa, there's a lot of dislocations around here. What's going on in Missouri? Well, you know, when I was younger, I dislocated my finger. And man, that hurts. Dislocating something it's painful. It's tough. But this angel, he dislocated his hip. Now, if you wrestle and you know anything about wrestling, once you lose your ability right here in your legs, you're beat. What, you know, when that hip is dislocated, you can't push. You have no core strength anymore, and you can't win. And so I can just picture this scene. Jacob's wrestling this angel. He's holding on to him. "Give me what's mine. Give me what's mine." And he's wrestling. And that angel, he reaches out and he touches his hip and he dislocates it. "Ah!" And Jacob, "Ah!" He's yelling and he's holding on. And the angel's saying, "Let go of me. I mean, let go of me." And he's like, "No, not until you bless me. I'm not letting go until you bless me." And he's in pain and he's hurting and he's struggling and he's holding on. What are you fighting for today, church? What are you fighting for in prayer? What do you believe in God for? Are you willing to go through some pain, to endure dislocation, to go through some suffering in prayer, to wrestle things through until you get what God has for you. So you got to be able to wrestle through. Man, you know, we had these little dinky prayers. And you know, when I first got saved, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to pray. You know, I went probably like a lot of people do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, that's what I did. And, you know, I sometimes even pray that when you prayed over the meal, because you just didn't know. You know, you're learning. But as time goes by and you begin to mature and you begin to read the Word and you begin to study the Word, you begin to see so many examples that Jesus puts in the Scriptures about us being determined, about us not giving up. The Bible says ask, seek, and knock. And if you do a little study on that, it says ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking, and the door will be opened. Jesus talked about a man that had a friend that came to him at midnight. He was hungry. He was needing some bread. You know, and he came to him at midnight. Now, that's a very inopportune time for anybody to come knocking on your door. But this guy came, and, you know, he's knocking on his door at midnight, and he says, man, I'm hungry. And he's like, I don't have anything. You know, and he says, well, let me go to my friend. And so he goes to his friend's house, and it's at midnight, and he's knocking on the door, and, you know, and finally his friend wakes up, and he's like, what do you want? Shh. All my kids are in bed. Be quiet. He's like, man, I'm really sorry. And I know it's midnight and it's a big inconvenience, but I've got this friend that came to me at midnight and he's hungry and I don't have any bread for him and I need to get some bread. And the guy just looks at him, are you crazy? You came to my house at midnight to ask for some bread and he just shut the door. And so here's the guy just standing there. Now what am I going to do? He starts knocking again. This guy starts knocking again. And Jesus said in this parable, this guy got up, he came downstairs, he didn't give him one loaf of bread, he gave him three. He said, here, take it. Leave me alone. You're going to wake my whole family up. Get out of here. And it says that he did not get up and give him what he wanted because he was his friend, but he gave him what he wanted because of his shameless persistence. So you got to have some shameless persistence in your prayer. I don't pray something one time and quit. No, I tell our interns all the time, I say, listen, if you're not willing to pray for something at least 3 days, you don't want it. You don't want it. And I mean, and that's just really starting out. I prayed for my father 7 years before he came to know Christ. 7 years I prayed before he came to know Christ. There are many things that you will have to pray over and over and over and wrestle through in prayer. What do you want today? What do you want today? You want health? Fight for it. What do you want today? You want people in your family saved? You want people in your family restored? Fight for it. What are you looking for today? You looking for God to promote you, to advance you, to bless you? Maybe you're believing God for a new home so that you can host people in your home. Maybe you're a young person here and you're believing God for a new car. You need a car so that you can get several of your friends in your car and get them to youth group here at church. Fight for it. What is it today that you're believing God for? What is it today that you're asking God to do? Do you want to be set free from some addiction that you've been struggling with for years and years and years? Fight for it. Wrestle for it. Go through some pain. Go through some suffering. See, don't fool yourself into thinking, church, that the things of God are just going to fall in your lap. Because they're not. I've lived long enough to know that the things of God are not just going to fall in your lap. Young people, listen to me. The things of God are yours. The things of God are yours. God has great things for you. How many of you love to have some confidence, some boldness, some giftings, some abilities? You may look at some of your other friends and you're like, man, I wish I was bold like them. I wish I was gifted like them. I wish I could do some of the things like they do. Well, pray for it. Ask for it. Wrestle for it. See, seek God for it. But the devil is not going to give it to you. It's a fight. It's a fight. Great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to fight life through and to say at the end, the dream was true. Lots of people have dreams. Lots of people want to do things. But if you're going to see your dreams fulfilled, you're going to have to fight them through until they happen. Fight them through. Fight them through. Fight. 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 Say fight. Fight. Say fight. Fight. Say I'm a fighter. Fight. Say I'm a fighter. Fight. Say I'm not a quitter. I'm a fighter. We got to fight it through, church. That's what God has called us to do, to fight it through. But here's the thing. God wants to know how bad you want what he has for you. Jacob was willing to go through the pain of dislocation, suffering, wrestling, struggling. My brother's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. He's coming to kill me. God, you said that you would bless me. Now you have to bless me. Let go of me. No, I'm not letting go of you until God blesses me. And you know that Jacob got his blessing? Jacob got his blessing because he wrestled it through. Fight for it. Fight for it. See, here's the thing, church. If God just gave it to us cheap, we wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't value it. We wouldn't be blessed by it. We would probably even misuse it. See, God's a smart father. He's brilliant. He's a genius. Now, I'm so glad that my parents didn't give me everything that I asked for when I asked for it. And you know, as I think back over my Christian life now for the last 30 years, I'm so glad God hasn't given me everything I asked for. Because you know what? There have been many times I've asked amiss for things. I asked for a girlfriend. I asked for this. I asked for that. Things that were just, they were silly things at the time of my life. I'm thankful that God didn't give me everything that I asked for. But let me tell you something. There are some things that God bursts in your spirit, that God puts in your heart, that God has placed deep down inside of you. And here's how you know. Because you go to bed and you wake up the next day and it's still there. And you go to bed and you wake up the next day and it's still there. And the next week, that desire is still there. And the next month, the desire is still there. And the next couple of months, the desire's still there. It hasn't left you. A year later, the desire is still there. See, some of you, you've carried burdens in your life for too long, for a very long time. And what happens is you get to a point to where you just give up on your dreams. You lay down those things that at one time God deposited into your spirit and you were believing God for, but because of the period of time that has passed, you've given up on your dreams. But I'm here today to tell you it's time for you to regather yourself and fight. Fight. God has called you to be a fighter. Now, most of you probably don't know this about me, but I really like Star Wars. I know it's not really, not a lot of people know this fact, but I really like Star Wars. But there's also another movie that I really like a lot, and it's Rocky. I love Rocky, and I love Star Wars. And I'm going to tell you today why I love them both so much. Because Rocky and Star Wars are two epic movies that are all about good triumphing over evil. The good guys win. It's just like a great old Western, you know? It's a great old Western. I love it. I love it. And here's why I love it. Good wins, evil is defeated, and both of those movies have such a fighting spirit about them. I mean, how many of y'all ever went and saw a Rocky movie? You didn't saw a Rocky movie? I mean, when you came out of there, were you like doing the air? Me, I was a kid. I saw Rocky. I came out of the movie. I was like, yeah. You know, I was Rocky. And then, of course, you come out of Star Wars, you're like, I mean, you're just coming out of there. I mean, my parents, when I got home from the movie, they were like, what are you doing, child? What is wrong with you? Oh, Dad, you just don't understand. It's epic. It's that fighting spirit. I'll never forget what Rocky said. He said, it's not how hard you can hit that matters. It's how hard you can get hit and still keep moving forward. We all get hit. The enemy attacks us all. That he attacks our health. He attacks our children, our businesses, our churches. He attacks family members. We all get attacked. Some of you have been hit hard. But here's what I want you to know. God's made you a warrior. God's made you a warrior. God's made you, he says, he has called you more, come on, than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. An overcomer. He's made you the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. He calls you a child of the Most High God. See, God has equipped us with the gifts of the Spirit that we might do warfare against the enemy and fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Now, I love this in this wrestling match because it's really interesting what happens here. So verse 25, he saw the man that he would win the match, and so he touched Jacob's hip. He wrenched it out of socket. And then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." And then in verse 27, watch this. "What is your name?" the man asked. I mean, what's your name? What? What? What's my name? What are you talking about? You know, they're right in the middle of, I've never been in the middle of wrestling somebody go, "Hey, by the name, what's your, by the way, what's your name?" I mean, that had to be weird. They're "Let go of me. What's your name?" What? What's your name? And he says, "Jacob." Look at verse 28. "Not anymore. Not anymore. Your name will no longer be Jacob. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." And so he changed his name, Jacob. And the name Jacob meant trickster, deceiver, conniver. I mean, he'd been that way his whole life. He tricked his brother out of his own birthright and inheritance. And he wrestled with this angel, and the angel says, "I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel." You know what that means? Prince with God. He changed his name to Prince with God. And you know, some of you are here today, and you've been hit hard by the enemy. And the devil has whispered in your ear some lies about who you are. You let the devil give you a name, loser, dumb, always late, hopeless. So you've allowed the enemy to assign a name to you, and you've worn this name for a long time. Jacob, you can just see Jacob all through life, from the time that he did that to his brother, all these many years later, when he heard that his brother was coming, you know, the first thing the devil whispered in his ear, "Remember what you did, you deceiver. You liar, you trickster, you schemer. Remember what you did." See, the devil, that was the first thing that he did, is he reminded him. And some of you in here today, you've let the enemy give you a name. He's labeled you a name. Shy, afraid, timid, loud, obnoxious, misfit, poor. There's a name. There's a name. But see, when you wrestle with God, church, in prayer, you'll hear God say, "I have a new name for you. Child of God, overcomer, more than a conqueror, son and daughter of the Most High God." See, God gives you a new name, a new identity. And when God does that, let me tell you something. When God does that and you get a hold of that, you win. You win. you win. I'm telling you today, you are Prince with God. Stop listening to the devil, church. Stop listening to his lies. I tell our interns all the time, don't you dare let the devil make your ear a garbage can for him to dump his lies into. And young people, listen to me. All the young people in the room, don't you dare let the devil make your ear a garbage can for him to dump his lies into. We got some beautiful young women in this room, but the devil would love to tell you you're ugly. He'd love to tell you you're not pretty. We got some fine young men in here, fine young men. I've met many of them. But the devil would love to tell you, oh, you're a loser. You're a nobody. You'll never amount to anything. I remember those voices in my mind. We all fight those voices. We all struggle against those voices. But see, God says Prince with God, child of God, overcomer. Fighter. Today, I want to encourage you to join the fight club. Join the fight club. Today, get a new identity. Get a new identity. As you're sitting right now in your chair, ask yourself, what has been my identity this past week? What has been my identity? How have I identified with myself? How have I identified with my children? How have I identified with my spouse, my friends? What is your identity? What have you been identifying with? See, today is your time, your opportunity to join the fight club. God has called you to win, to be an overcomer, to fight, to fight, to fight, to fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Fight. Fight. Say, I'm a fighter. I'm not a quitter. I'm a winner. That's it. See, God has called us to fight. And as I close today, I want to encourage you to join the fight club. See, there's a lot of people in the Bible that God has reached out to, individuals that God's reached out to, and he's brought opportunity their way. And he says, it's up to you. I'm laying out these blessings before you. It's up to you. You can do with them what you want, but I want you to know it's yours. I promised it to you. See, he promised Abraham that land. He promised Abraham to make him a father of many nations. He promised Abraham that all of his seed would be blessed. And see, Jacob knew that. And Jacob reminded God of that. God, this is what you said. God, you promised. God, this is what you said. God, you said this is ours. See, he reminded him of that. And then he fought it through until he got it. Church, today, I want to reinvigorate you in your prayer life. What are you believing God for? What were you believing God for? What is it something that maybe you gave up on? Maybe some of you in here are single, and you've been single for quite a while, and you've given up on the dream of having a mate. Listen, God has someone for you. God has someone awesome for you, but you got to fight it through until that time comes. You got to fight it through in prayer until that. Some of you have been believing to start a business, to get some things off the ground, and it's just not working. But if God placed that dream in your heart, God has that for you. You just have to fight it through until it comes. You fight it through. God's given me things in my heart, things that I felt like he was calling me to do. And church, you got to know, it didn't happen in 2 days. You don't plant a seed in the ground and the next day you've got a full-grown crop. It doesn't work like that. There's times and seasons. The scripture says in Galatians, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. When's due season? The day after you quit. The day after you quit, you got to stay in the match. Stay in the ring. Join the fight club. Join the fight club. Stand with me this morning. I just want to, as we're closing, I'm going to finish just a couple of minutes early because I want to just take a few minutes here just to let the Spirit of God move in your heart, move in this room today. And if you're ready to take your stand with me today and join the fight club, some of you here today, you need to start your fight. You need to start. Today is your day to start your fight. You need to start it. Some of you need to continue in your fight. And today I'm bringing encouragement to you to continue in the fight. that God has placed out there in front of you. Some of you need to take your fight today to another level. You become complacent in your fight. You're in the ring, but you're not sharp anymore. You know, you're in the ring, but you're not really giving yourself to it like you used to. You're in the ring, and you're starting to get beat up, and today is your day to take your fight to another level. Wherever you're at, if that's you, I just want you to lift your hand across the room. Close your eyes here this morning just as a sign of faith. We raise our hands. God, you see these hands in this room today. Lord, you see these different people, God, who are believing you for things in their lives, in their families, in their personal lives. And God, today, I ask you, God, that you would encourage your people, infuse your people with that fighting spirit, that we're called to be more than conquerors. We're fighters. And God, today, I just ask by your spirit that you touch your people right now in the name of Jesus, all around this auditorium, hands up all over the place, hands everywhere. Touch them, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Each and every person, God, touch them. As they're lifting up their hands, Father, touch them, God, by faith, a point of contact right now. Right now, touch them. Come on, be determined. Be determined. Press in. God's got it for you here today. God's got it for you here today. God, touch. Touch in the name of Jesus. Touch each one in the name of Jesus. As we're reaching out to you, Father God, we're believing you, God. God, we're setting our eyes on you today. Today. Today is our day. God, today we're going to fight to get all that you have for us. God, we're going to fight for all that Jesus died for us to have, and God, we're going to have every bit of it. And if it takes a week, if it takes a month, if it takes a year, if it takes 10 years, we're going to hang on until our blessing that you have for us comes. Just like Jacob with that angel. Let go of me. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until you bless me. Say that with me. I'm not letting go until you bless me. God, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I will wrestle this through. I will not quit. I will wrestle this through until the break of day. Boy, I tell you, it's dark in those moments. Sometimes in prayer, it's dark. It's dark, but church, daylight's coming. The breaking of the day is coming. A new dawn is coming. God's got new things that he's going to do. And what you have to do is you have to hang on. Hang on until God brings that thing to pass.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.